The following program may contain music-related fun and laughs for all ages. Listening is advised. Wake up, world. It's time for Big JD and Lippo in the morning. And here they are, your hosts, Big JD and Lippo.
That's right, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the morning.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Doing good.
You look great.
Oh, well, thank you. You don't look so bad yourself, big
boy. That's because you always got the curtains drawn in here. There's no light in here.
What? So, where are you?
Yeah, exactly. So no wonder we look so good to each other. We can't see a darn thing. Are you, you been busy lately?
Yeah, I'd say fairly busy.
Working? Playing? Jamming? Recording?
A little bit of
everything
but not actually jamming. We're still on our hiatus.
Do you miss jamming with dudes?
Yeah, I guess so.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun. I mean, I wouldn't mind playing live, but I just haven't had that much time for that. And Joe's back at work, and everybody's busy. And Brett's got another band, too, but...
I would go crazy. I would do something to hook up with somebody if I didn't have nobody to jam with.
Well, I can jam anytime I want, man. I'd like, you know, I can play or I can record or whatever.
Oh, yeah, you'd be jamming by yourself.
Just got some cool new blues backing tracks.
And
I mean, you should do a blues thing. Oh, yeah, you're going to do, you got a big Lippo CD coming soon.
Big JD.
I'm supposed to do drums for that.
Has got so many ideas when I come into the studio. We should do this and we should do that. And then that leads to, oh, we got to do this. And if we do it, it's going to be called this.
But we do have another good idea. It involves the Diane Motel.
No, that's a motel.
Right. Yeah. Motel lobby. There is no such thing as a motel lobby, is there?
Short stays welcome.
Hey, what's that? Short stays welcome. That's like a good name for something.
Good name for a motel that allows you to pay hourly.
Hmm.
ever hear of that before?
That's why you want to lure me to the motel.
Absolutely. Doesn't that everybody?
Lippo and I want to do some kind of a video podcast at some point.
Yeah, and you're saying that because we look so good, we're so photogenic.
Well, we wouldn't be in it.
Okay, or just our heads would be, or?
You mean from the waist down?
That would be from the waist down, yeah. Not heads. We wouldn't be talking heads then. Because talking heads, that's more or less, you're sitting at a desk and you see, you know, a head talking.
Yeah, well, we'd be in it, so they'd see us.
And you just want to be video because that's a, it's the medium of choice now. Now that it's so readily available, people can just download video.
You know what? I think the biggest thing is just something different because we've done audio for so long. We've done radio for the longest time. Let's try a video podcast. Would be kind of neat.
You're the video guy. You would know all about it. And I would totally hold it in your hands. That the fact that you would actually be the director and the talent, and you would be editing the show too.
Yeah, that sucks. No doubt. that's when I start thinking about that. It's like, well, we'll wait for a little while longer.
Yeah. We need...
if there was ample time, it would be no sweat.
Or someone who'd just be into editing video.
Oh, we could get people to do stuff for us.
Yeah. Is it going to be any good, though?
Interns.
Yeah. See, I don't know if I'm into that.
It's hard. I mean, you know, unless somebody's getting paid, then, you know.
You get what you pay for.
I mean, I know other good editors and stuff. Like, you know, people could do it.
Right. But we want to pay those people.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, you'd have to, it'd be a big project in order to pay people. Then we need advertisers and, you know.
So how do these things get started?
That's how they get started.
No, how
nothing gets started until you start it.
No, I know, but you'd have for that scenario to come to life, you'd have to pay somebody. You have to money has to come from somewhere, and there's successful people out there who just started because they loved it and they just worked as hard as they possibly could to get it going.
That's all you do. long as you got something that's sellable.
And you believe it.
Then, you know, yeah.
I think it can work, yeah.
It's doing something that we like, but that, you know, it will be popular. That people will like the topic or discussion, you know what I mean, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that advertisers would be happy to get on board because of so many listeners.
Because the subject matter would be targeted, but it would be on a widespread basis.
Yeah.
Like boaters, let's say.
Large demographic that wants what we have to offer.
Right. And we got...
not difficult.
I shouldn't say we have good ideas. JD had the idea.
Well, the whole thing, though, is not difficult to do. So it's just a matter of implementing. But I can't do it alone.
Right.
I need the help of Lippo.
And
Lippo's too busy.
Five other Lippos. Anyway, well, we'll see what comes to light.
Something will happen.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
Of course.
Something you got the green screen, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Got a couple of them.
We only need one, though,
for various... Yeah. One's, like, mobile, and one is
installed.
Not as mobile.
Right. You'd want to install.
You can carry it around.
Oh,
set
yeah?
it all up. You know what I mean? The big right. one. But then there's another one that just pops open to a big square. It's good for, like, somebody can hold it behind you if you had to do something, you know. It's cool.
Yeah, that sounds cool. Very cool, yeah. Actually, so you'd want like a tight shot or something like that if it's holdable.
Well, it's holdable, or you can lean it in a corner or whatever, or you can just stick it on you could use like a C-stand that just holds it up or sideways or whatever.
Yeah.
You could actually do the whole, you know, if it's like from waist chest up, yeah, you could do a whole show with it, even the portable one. Quite honestly, it's like probably, geez, I don't know the size of it. 5x7 or no, maybe not that big. 4x5x7, yeah, maybe 5x7, something like that.
All right, you would know.
Something like that.
Seems small to me, but only because of what I've seen.
But you put it behind a couple people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can put a newsroom behind you or whatever kind of thing, or something back there, like a whatever. Hotel lobby or whatever. Then it's big enough for that.
All right. I'll take your word for it.
All right. So, anyway.
Do you know, was there any events that happened this week? Did you go do anything? Judge a contest or anything like that?
This week?
Yeah.
No, no events. You? Besides golfing yesterday? Did you enjoy your golf outing yesterday? It was a nice day.
It was Canada Day yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And the golf courses were open?
They were packed, is what they were.
Of course.
People have the day off. They're going to go golfing if they golf.
It's a beautiful
day.
Entertainment.
What?
To some degree.
No, it's a sport,
but it's. I don't know if I'd call it a sport.
I don't consider
it. But I mean, a lot of people go out for the fun of it, like going to the theater.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, go golfing, have some beers, drive around in a cart, camaraderie, shoot some balls, whatever.
Nature. That's
what? Oh, they used to call me that when I worked for Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
So yeah, the nature, being out on the beautiful green.
That's what I like about it.
Yeah.
The most is being out in a very tranquil, natural setting.
Mm-hmm.
And the camaraderie would come second.
Did anything, did somebody win or?
No, see, that's the whole thing. I would never golf. Well, I shouldn't say I would never golf competitively because I'm in the Bogey Golf Tour, which is somewhat competitive, but it's more fun than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a competitive golfer.
So this all is no competition. How many people went?
There was three of us.
Hmm?
Yeah.
One cart, three people. Right?
No.
Or you guys have races, and how's that all work? How many people can you get in a cart?
Well, everybody wants their own cart so we can have races. No, actually, it was horrible.
That's
for carts yesterday. Two in a cart, but so there were three of us. I carted alone since I smelt the worst. But they would only...
You still get carted?
They would only allow us on the cart pass.
Only allow you what?
On the cart pass. There's pass through the golf course.
Okay.
So since it rained so much, there was so much water on there. If you drive a cart on the grass, you end up doing damage to the course.
Okay.
So there was a cart path only. So you park and you walk to your ball and then walk back to your cart. It takes a lot longer to do it that way, to golf that system. But that's what we had to do yesterday. Went to Deer Run. Great golf course.
Yeah, we're going to Boblo tomorrow. And they have paths in Boblo on the island that you can go down, I don't know, bicycling. And I think even take like a buddy of mine takes his Jeep there and just goes... You know, cruising down these paths. I don't know if it's where the amusement park was or what it is. But I guess they pretty much kind of rained out right now. so the paths aren't open on that particular part of the island.
All right.
There's some other areas where you can go bike ride and stuff like that too, but this particular trails you can't go on right now.
That's your plan?
No. We're going to ride there. I'm not going to go biking on trails or anything, but I just want to go to a nice park there. And they got an ice cream shack and they got a little restaurant and stuff like that, but I don't know if it'll be open during the afternoon or not.
I'm dying to hear about
Marina.
I don't know anybody who visits Babalo Island.
Yeah, yeah. I don't really. A couple people that I know of that have gone there just to hang out. And that's what you can do. I mean, they got big, beautiful homes there, and you can go, you know,
big, beautiful
cruise homes, around, yeah. Look at that stuff.
I heard there was like issues as far as like sewage or getting water or electricity or no.
I don't think so. Not now. Maybe. Anyways, maybe when they first started all that.
Maybe that's where you guys should set up some shop.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to live over on that island and have to rely on a ferry to get back and forth all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't know when the ferry's not going to be able to go across either, right?
So you should be able to get a jetpack by next year, though, I hear.
Jetpacks?
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
For sure. Either that or a hoverboard. So you just stand
on
the board.
Yeah, yeah. Or a hover, one of those, yeah, not just a board, but a whole.
Oh, craft.
Hovercraft, yeah. That'd be sweet.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, Rush has been in the news a lot lately.
Russia,
not,
yeah.
Rush, not Russia.
They've been in the news
this
a lot.
This is music-related news.
Well, do you ever hear of a balalaka?
Yeah, those are... Russian. But that's Greek treats, isn't it?
Greek treats.
That's the thing you wear in the wintertime over your face.
Balaclava.
What? Oh, that's what
they used to call you over at the ski camp, yeah.
Yeah, when I was in ski camp. You ever see my trophies? But they.
You mean your wife, right?
There's been a lot. A trophy wife. There's been a lot of talk about Rush because of their semi-retirement type thing and cutting down on shows and that sort of thing. But they're also in the news because Neil Peart says that he's surprised no one has approached the band to make a movie based on their 2012 album, Clockwork Angels.
2012 album.
Yeah, 2012 release, Clockwork
Angels. Don't be confused with, as soon as you said that, I thought, no, it's
2112. Yeah, that's what I thought first when I read this, which would probably make a cool movie, whatever that's all about, the future and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah, well, it's based on a book.
The lyrics chronicle a young man's journey across a across a steampunk.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I don't know either. A steampunk world filled with pirates, anarchists, an exotic carnival performers. A steampunk world. What in the heck's a steampunk world?
I have no idea. We're old and we don't know what that means or what. That's what that word kind of reminds me of.
Steampunk world.
Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, he thinks a movie should be made about that and wonder why no one's approached them. And that partially probably stems from Rush putting a lot of video into their videos these days. You know, they release their DVDs, concert DVDs, and they do some video skits and all those kinds of things. And they're quite into the video thing.
Steampunk refers to a subgenre of science fiction and sometimes fantasy that incorporates technology and aesthetic designs inspired by the 19th century industrial steam-powered machinery.
Huh? Kind of neat.
There you go.
That's good to know, yeah. And what else is happening in the news? Pink Floyd's Syd Barrett, the subject of a new documentary. And Pink Floyd fans who want to learn more about Syd Barrett should note that a documentary about the late frontman is scheduled to arrive later this summer.
I wonder who's going to star in it.
And the movie is called Have You Got It? Well, documentary. Nobody's starring
in documentary. I'm sorry. I thought maybe it was going to be...
not a fiction film or whatever, which would probably be a pretty cool idea too. And Dee Snider says that Twisted Sister redefined music videos.
Didn't they ever?
Yeah, I think they did. That was kind of at the time when music videos, I guess, for rock seemed to be, 80s.
80s,
yeah. It was kind of getting to be a big deal.
Absolutely. There was a few genres.
And they were early on, obviously, one of the early, kind of rock metal bands of that time.
I remember Peter Gabriel doing music videos, and they were always breaking, what can you do next kind of thing.
But it was always cool. It's always cool now to go look at some of the videos that bands shot like way back. You know what I mean? Like The Doors and, that kind of when they're on some of those old shows and things like that, and they did videos for them. It's kind of neat.
What's the whistle show in England?
Oh, the Pig and Whistle.
Pig and Whistle. That's what it is?
No, sorry. The Old Gray Whistle
Old
Test.
Old Gray Whistle, that's what it is.
Pig and Whistle was like some...
bar or something.
Bar in...
Ireland.
Ireland, yeah. Something like that.
Get some Irish
beer. Some of those Irish bands were recorded live albums at the Pig and Whistle.
Yeah. That's where I find the most interesting video is stuff from way back then. Mm-hmm. Stuff that, for some reason, they were good at archiving some early moments in bands' lives that you would say, wow, look at that. Like, you know, before they were anybody.
And these are things that I look at now and, you know, I keep finding cool, new, old things because these are things we never would have saw in the past, right? You never would have saw that way back when, before computers and whatever, right?
Right.
Meanwhile, you know, when we were getting into computers, these things were shot years and years before that. And you would never know they existed.
Right, exactly.
Where were they even shown ever?
Right.
Maybe on some local European TV or something at some point,
yeah,
or whatever. But
yeah.
But it's amazing to see that stuff now because we would have never had access to that.
No, it's awesome. And hence the ubiquity of video. And that's why we got to do a video show. Yep. People can see us on their iPhones. And
Sam's. And lastly for me, Rob Zombie announces a limited edition pinball machines.
He's going to make his own machines?
Yeah, I guess so.
I wonder how much they're going for.
I don't know.
He's in the pinball machine.
A big pinball machine can't be too cheap.
No. And, you know, that's how people, artists these days are making money through merchandise.
Yeah, you got to find new ways to do all this.
You get some unique merchandise to sell and people...
Why don't we have merchandise? Big JD and Lipo t-shirts? I'd wear one.
I'll make you one.
I'll wear one with you on it. You wear one with me on it.
Go to Sears and get a decent quality white t-shirt and I'll make an iron and I'll make a design. Okay.
I had the only Jeffrey David's Blues Connection shirt made that has me on it. Red SG. It's awesome. Long sleeve too.
I love me. Who do you love?
Yeah, we should have merchandise. Pins.
Pins are cool enough. You can put them on stuff. Guitar straps and
shirts. Guitar strap, Big Daddy Loop. No. Well, it's music related, so sure. Get them while you can, folks. I don't know what's going to happen once we go green screen.
Get them while they're hot. You never know.
So tell us a little bit about this iTunes music because it's a whole new thing and you've had some experience with it.
Apple Music, not iTunes Music.
Or Apple Music. Okay,
Apple Music. Yeah. And it's funny you mention iTunes because the only way that you can. Well, first of all, Apple Music is a streaming service from Apple.
Mm hmm.
That they just started 2 days ago. Yeah, it was 2 days ago, June 30th. Rolled it out here in Canada, and you got to update your phone, update your iTunes. But the thing is, when you listen to Apple Music on your phone or on your iPad, it's a standalone app, and it's called Music. And then that's what it's been called for a while now, actually. The app that you use on your device to listen to songs is it's been called Music. So that's cool. But when you want to listen to your Apple Music streaming service on your Mac, you got to listen to it through iTunes. Okay. Which is, it's dumb. Why would you have to? They basically added another thing to iTunes. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they've separated everything out in iOS. Music is for music. Mm-hmm. That's what they should have did on the Mac. It should just be Music. Separate it all out and it's all in there. That's the music stuff.
You think so, eh? Pop. I don't think they should do that. I think it should be part of iTunes. Probably should have called it iTunes Music then. Or at least until they do separate everything out.
I think eventually they will. I just thought now.
I didn't like the fact that they separated everything out really of iTunes even because I got to go to another app for my podcasts. You know what I mean? At some point they came out with podcasts.
Yep.
Or podcasts, yeah, or whatever.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep. Okay.
Just because iTunes, for one thing, is a it's just crazy. So anyway, like I said, to listen to your Apple Music streaming service on your Mac, you got to have iTunes, and it's in iTunes. And that's how it's been integrated into it, user interface and all that kind of stuff. So when I upgraded, now I went to go look for a song in iTunes, a song that's not on Apple Music. It was in my library. It's a Bob Seger song. So okay. Bob Seger's not on any streaming services right now.
Okay.
He refuses to do that. He owns all his own music, all the publishing and all that. So I went to look for one of his tunes. It found the song. It was called Fire Lake.
Yep.
Bob Seger. You double click on it. Oh, and that song, it found it in Kiss's first album. So it has the Kiss album, has a track listing for the Kiss album. In that track listing is Bob Seger's Fire Lake.
Okay. Why is that?
Yeah. Why is
Don't
that?
Know. Okay.
I have no idea. And the album art is from a Chili Peppers
album. Oh, so album. Everything's mixed up. Yeah.
Oh, big time. And then when you go to play it, it's a Bruce Springsteen song.
Wow.
So you want to find that song? Forget about it. You don't get to find it.
That's crazy. That's confusing.
Confusing. It's useless. My music that's on my computer right now, completely useless.
Yeah.
Can't find it. So that's what Apple Music has done to my iTunes.
Well, Apple Music is confused. So what's up with that? Misinformation maybe? How do they get all that? Somebody has to do all that, I suppose, right? All the information for the songs and the album. I mean, or do they just pull it from wherever they get it to, the Grace Note thing or whatever?
Well, that's the stuff that is in their service. But this is a song that was on my hard drive. It screwed up the database that basically, you know, gives album art its thing. And
iTunes database.
iTunes database, yeah.
Together. So, yeah.
So that's my next thing, is to go to a previous version of the database, which I have in Time Machine, I would assume.
Yeah.
Just go in the Finder and go backwards in time and pull that out and reinstall it.
And then hope that it doesn't mess it up again, though.
Yeah.
Unless it was just on, well, I don't know.
What I'm hoping is that the current version of iTunes is not going to choke on this old database.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure there's stuff in there that is related to Apple Music, the streaming service. Or is it? I don't know.
Well, I'm sure your database can't be that old anyway, your previous one, right? Previous backup shouldn't be that old.
No, I have the one from the day before, June 29th.
Yeah, so that's what you'll use, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So that's my experience so far. But I shouldn't say that's my only experience with it. Actually using the service,
mm-hmm.
you can tell it's... the way they designed it, it comes from a very specific mindset. Someone said it on a Twitter or somewhere that Spotify seems to be the interface and the way it's written and the way everything works. It seems like it was written by techie people who are into tech and pushing technology and really writing good software. Yeah. But it seems like the Apple Music experience on your phone or your iPad is made, it's from musicians. Musicians have a say in the way this is all presented and the way that you can get to other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, but in iTunes, not the case at all. It's just a freaking mess. It's brutal, like how you get around. I'm still not happy with what they did to iTunes when they, you know, got rid of the sidebar for the most part. Like, you know, they don't want that part of the interface and all the stuff is just at the top there if you want to get the music moved. I'm not into that. And then you got to choose your view of whatever you just picked over here on the right-hand side. It just seems like it's all...
I'm back and forth on iTunes, like, clicking on stuff because nothing's really... things that should be together, at least, are really not.
Right. It's not very cohesive. But anyway, that's my rant. That's my issue with that's the news thing that I have because it's all very new. And it's probably going to... I'm sure Spotify is noticing a big drop in the amount of music they're streaming within the last couple of days. You know what I mean? They know that their paying customers are not streaming because they're going to try the Apple Music thing. Because it's also available.
Try it for sure.
Yeah. It's available everywhere. Android, Windows.
Yep.
And of course your iOS.
And device. Spotify is as well.
That's probably why Apple realized if we come out with a streaming service, we got to make it.
You got to have it everywhere.
Yeah.
Right from the start.
Yep.
And in many countries.
100
because
countries.
Sometimes they would release things and it wouldn't be available here yet or there yet, right?
Yep. Yeah, but it was everywhere. Or I should say, over 100 countries. They wanted to release it in a couple days ago.
And moving along, today's show topic.
Music language. The language of love. The language of music.
Yeah, music lingo. Yeah, so like chicks and what else?
Chicks is a music lingo?
Staccato.
Staccato, absolutely.
So we'll talk about all these things when we come back right after this.
And we're back. And today's topic is music lingo, like we mentioned before the break. We're going to discuss the language that people use when either musicians used amongst themselves or schools use to teach music or just language that cropped up on its own based on the people who were playing the music or listening to the music. The beatniks. Remember the beatniks?
I remember the beatniks.
They would walk around with their fingers snapping. They would recite poetry, and they'd be into like eclectic jazz, and they'd have like these haircuts that kind of remind me of hipsters today a little bit. Nerdy dudes.
Pants a little shorter, white socks, slip-on shoes.
Corduroy pants.
Okay.
With a vest, maybe.
I used to have a cool Levi's, dark brown Levi corduroy vest. It was awesome.
I think I had the same thing for sure. Very cool. With the pants, probably. Or a shirt.
I had all kinds of Levi corduroy pants.
Oh, yeah. Levi's were killing it back in the day for young
teenagers. And that stuff was all cheap. Even Levi's now is not cheap. You can find certain pairs of their pants that aren't that expensive.
Right.
But Levi's makes them, you know, is not cheap like they were. Same with like stuff like Adidas and things like that. Yeah, remember, you used to be able to get like Adidas shorts and Converse running shoes at Byway and the old Adidas gym bags that were like that vinyl. It's a killing now for those things.
Oh, yeah. If you want an Adidas gym bag, you're paying bucks if it's in good shape.
Your firstborn.
And you probably put your firstborn right in the bag.
You could, yeah, for sure.
Depending on if it was new or not.
So, music lingo, like axe.
Axe. You're going to start with the letter A.
Go right down the line, baby. So axe is slang for guitar.
Absolutely. A lot of people understand that, you know, that was like a tool that guitar players used, and it's been used in a lot of songs.
And they also says here on a particular page that I'm at, which is englishclub.com, music slang, the word axe for a musical instrument, especially a jazz musician's guitar, trumpet, or saxophone. And I think that comes from that hip time. You know, I don't know when axe actually came about, but it seems like sort of appropriate when they mention that it's a jazz musician's guitar or a trumpet or saxophone. So it's more an instrument than it is a guitar, but for the most part, we tend to refer to it as a guitar.
For sure. Yeah.
Axe slinger.
Yep.
That's not a saxophone slinger.
No, not at all.
Well, non-musicians not going to know, and probably a lot of musicians don't know either.
Yeah, probably not. So, from the wiki, I'll tell you what it is, but I know what I think it is. Staccato, Italian for detached, is a form of musical articulation. In modern notation, it signifies a note of a shortened duration separated from the note that may follow by silence. So it's there's silence in your... in
most notation terms are Italian. Why is that? Do we know?
Well, it's one of the cradles of civilization, and I think that one of the things...
Italian origins of many European musical conventions.
Right. So when they started teaching music, like, you know, they started colleges and universities, whatever, when they actually started teaching it, they had to have terms, and I think most of the earlier colleges were in this area, Greece and Italy, you know what I mean? It's known for that. In the 20th century, a dot placed above or below a note indicates that it should be played staccato. So, can you give us an example of staccato with your tongue right now?
But.
Thank you very much. That's what it is. Yeah. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's musical. And usually,
instead of being like da 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 da, it's da 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 da.
Yeah, something like that. So
it's tight.
It's tight. That's a good word to use too. So what does tight mean?
Hey, that's like another that's like when you say a band is tight or whatnot, it's kind of like glued together well. Like it's not the band's not loose, which is another term.
Loose is another term.
Kind of means that, you know, like the off time a little. The, you know, the drummer's in and out, or the guitar's in and out, or, you know,
right.
Vocals so, not coming so there, on cue.
There,
kind
there
of
can
thing.
Be a negative connotation to loose. And there can be a good one. So A is
that's like, true too. That's really loose, man.
Yeah. So it feels loose. If you want to think of a loose guitar player, in my mind, Jimi Hendrix was a loose guitar player. Some people went out and say he was sloppy.
I tend to model myself after those kinds of guitar players.
Sloppy ones.
Yeah. Just loose.
Loose, that's the word. Yeah, just be loose.
But I don't do that anymore. Oh, loose.
Loose.
No, the guys that, Jimmy Page is like that. Jimi Hendrix is like that. There's a lot of great guitar players are like that. They're not so tight, not so in the pocket, which is another term, I guess.
In the pocket, that's another great thing. In the pocket tends to be more of a rhythm thing, but before we go there, let's go to the pocket in a minute. It's more technically, driven so that it has more feel and less technical.
Are you talking about pocket?
No.
Or are you talking about the looseness?
Loose,
I don't necessarily find it have anything to do with technical or anything like that. But just mostly to do with, like, when you mentioned Jimi Hendrix or and I said Jimmy Page, they're, to me, it's like a tight rhythm section with an overlay of guitar that moves around a little more freely. You know what I mean?
That's interesting.
I don't know. There's a million analogies, I guess, for the
way
that is or sounds.
Sure, that's another thing that we're, as we're talking about the in the Music Lingo show. There's a lot of words that mean one thing to one person and don't mean anything to another person and mean the exact opposite to somebody else.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's the crazy thing about musicians. And when they start talking, when you talk to other musicians, they say things and you wonder, where did they come up with that thing to describe that thing? Like,
They listen to Big JD and Lipo in the Morning. That's where they found it.
I doubt it.
A cappella. That's quite a musical term for vocal only.
And we're back in the A's.
Yeah. Still in the A's.
A cappella, that.
Different webpage, though.
That would be a great show topic. Just play a cappella music.
Absolutely would be, yeah. Maybe that's next week.
I would love that.
Acapella. Let's start with the A's and work our way through the show topics.
Brian Ibbett, who does the Coverville podcast, every once in a while, at least once a year, he'll do an a cappella show.
And the actual definition for that here, and this is coming from Wikipedia.
The wiki.
So
we just call it the wiki now, JD.
Yeah, I know. That's some people call it one thing and some people call it another.
Right.
It's the manner of singing in a chapel. C-H-A-P-E-L. Is that chapel?
Yes.
Without instrument accompaniment.
It's not Dave Chappell.
Example.
Without any accompaniment. That's the whole thing. You play singing.
Oh, okay. There's no accompaniment. They're talking about an actual chapel.
Well, that's probably
so worth. Church singers, cantors and things like that. They sing without accompaniment. Okay.
Back to the Italian thing.
I thought that they, maybe that was some special word said a different way, like capel, like a cappella, capel.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. No, they play it in a chapel, yeah.
Okay.
That's probably where it started, because churches were from Italy.
Learn something new here every day.
Yeah, it's just a learning show. That's why I like this topic,
and
for sure.
Under the bees.
Under the bees.
No, let's see. There's some other really good ones here at this at the other page I was at, the slang music page, which was English Club, what was it, EnglishClub.com. Ear candy.
Well, that's past bees.
Well, I know, but I'm not necessarily going in order.
Oh, thank God. Ear candy, that's not to be confused with an earworm.
Or eye candy.
Or eye candy.
Which is could be another.
Yes. Ear candy
is band members' term for.
Right. If you hear something that you really like a lot and you think it's good, that's ear candy to you.
Pleasant sounding music is ear candy. Candy to your ears.
Right. So that's obviously very subjective.
Gig.
Gig. One of my favorite words.
It's a big one. Now, what's that mean to you? Doesn't mean nothing to me.
Yeah.
I don't gig.
You don't gig. We got a gig coming up in a couple weeks.
All right. Where at?
Playing at the Belvoir Legion for the Sunsplash Car Show.
There you go. What's the date?
July 24th. Sunsplash in Belvoir.
And the name of the band is?
King Friday.
And now, is this electric? Acoustic?
What? King Friday is electric, yeah. Acoustic Tres Cojones thing.
Tres Cojones.
That's correct. So gigs, that's, gig, I think, started in the musical realm, but then people just attached it to any job they got. So, you know, people who are like
sure, or any
freelance artists or video editors or whatever, you get a gig. It's a job. It's the same thing for musicians as well.
And things as simple as sax for saxophone, you know, kind of slang for the full
word. Yeah, exactly. But it's funny, guitar never really got a. Oh, it did. Axe, sax, and axe are easy to say because your axe can be your sax.
Jam.
Jamming. Now there's all these short three-letter words here. Sax and gig and jam.
Sure, jam. Emo?
Another one of my favorite words, because jamming is just usually just means there's nothing serious going on. It can turn serious. It can turn from being...
Now, you call your rehearsals a rehearsal, a practice, or a jam?
Myself, I prefer the word practice. Mm-hmm. But depending on where we do it, it turns into like a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. So I rather have band practices, like, you know, you go through parts of a song and whatever. But if you're just going there, you practice your stuff at home. And then you come, and then we're just going to go through this list of songs. That sounds like a rehearsal to me, because it's the show without the dress and the lights and the...
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Do you guys have dress rehearsal?
No, it's just band rehearsal. No.
Back in the day when we wore chains and... crazy stuff, we'd have dress rehearsals.
Oh, we only had dress rehearsals once. That's when we were wearing the socks, like the
Chili
Peppers.
And I think part of that was, nobody could see that hand movement. We'd have so much stuff on that we'd have to have a dress rehearsal just to, you know, be somewhat used to everything. You know, sometimes even black leather gloves with the fingers cut out, you know, and you want to be used to playing with your stuff on all the time and things, you know, around your neck and chains and boots and... You know what I mean?
The big chains heavy and belts. Boots.
You'd want to rehearse with that stuff on.
For sure. That makes perfect sense because, like you say, it's, you hate to be on stage, and especially when it's dark. And so, anyway.
And today's music, pretty much, I guess, by Big JD and Lippo is somewhat related to the show about lingo talk and... kind of thing. And yeah, same here. And like I always do. And the first one is Fast Way, Say What You Will.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. Eddie Fastway, where was he at before he was Fastway?
Eddie Fastway?
Yeah.
Fast Eddie Clark.
Fast Eddie
Clark. Before Fastway?
Yeah.
Oh, Motorhead.
Was it really Motorhead? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a guitar player in Motorhead.
Yep.
All right, I knew it was somewhere.
His last album was a blues album. His own. He's got a few solo albums out.
Very cool.
Wasn't so great.
It wasn't so great, no?
No, I was expecting it to be a lot more. I mean, it was guitar oriented, you know, but there was this thing, and it was like, it was just like sort of a lame blues album, kind of, you know? You know whose last blues album was really, really cool?
Don't tell me. Steve Miller's.
No.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's now right. You threw me off. And I can picture him. Long Misty Days. Robin Trower.
Robin Trower.
Cool. Well, blues album, his last album.
Not surprising at all.
He's no, awesome. No, but some good people can put out bad albums.
What about blues?
So there's some slang for record albums and stuff and lingos and whatnot. Disc.
Some people just call it vinyl now.
Vinyl, yeah.
The product that's made, well, it used to be made from
this. That's not so much the lingo that we're kind of going for, I guess, though.
No.
We're kind of looking for the terms that are, well, yeah, I guess vinyl.
I know what you're thinking.
Slang stuff, more so, you know what I mean? Like, guitar is a music-related terminology, but it's, you know, we're looking for the cool stuff, right? Axe.
Cool stuff.
You know?
Staccato.
Staccato. Yeah. What are some of the other ones? Oh, bravado.
No.
Hey.
You're in that bar.
What do you got for us?
We're listening to Nirvana, Sappy.
Yeah.
And in mono, it's sappy.
In mono, no less.
Yes.
In mono, there's a music term for you.
Mono a mono.
What's mono mean?
Man.
Mono is a single channel of audio.
Yes, it is.
In I'm that sure there's case. People that don't know that.
Mono, yeah. So, well, mono, yeah, is, if you're
as
listening
opposed to stereo.
It, yeah, if you listen to it in your headphones, you're going to hear the exact same thing coming out of both sides of your head. Back in the day, that was, there was no such thing as stereo. Like, a lot of the Beatles' first album were all done in mono.
Yeah. If you think of your old TV sets, they'd have one speaker in them.
For sure, yeah. Everything they might have mono. Two speakers, but it was mono.
Oh, yeah, even it was still mono, yeah.
And when they came out with the stereo, that was in the TV scene. Remember, people used to buy these big wooden pieces of furniture in their living room.
Mm-hmm.
With a TV in the middle.
Oh, sure. That's a whole other show, I think.
That's a whole Somehow. Other show.
Yeah, old radios and stereos. But yeah, big, huge TV. You lift the top up, record yeah. players inside, 8-track.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Very sweet.
All in one.
Yeah, I remember
like
my,
iTunes.
My buddy's, yeah, exactly. My buddy Scott Laffer, his parents got one. It was a really nice one. It freaking kicked. It was so loud. I'm not sure what the powerage was on that. But he would record onto cassettes by plugging in a microphone to a cassette, nice cassette deck, and put microphones in front of the speakers.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember walking into his house sometimes, like, you know, he put his finger up to his...
Yeah, don't say anything.
Don't say anything. Recording. Be quiet.
Yeah, we've all done that stuff. I've done that.
Did we listen to that after? I don't know. It was more fun recording it, that's for sure.
I remember when Sabbath's Heaven and Hell album came out and they played the whole thing on riff. I remember recording that on an old Sears cassette tape. And they played the whole album, all songs back to back. It was awesome.
Like, they would do that. The week that the album came out, like on the Friday night, the album came out on Tuesday, we're going to play the whole album from beginning to back. That was back in the day of...
What about Bend? A bend.
That's when you're going down the road?
No. A bend.
A bend like in guitar playing bend?
Yeah.
Well, strings are bendable. They're steel wires. And when you play a note without actually putting any pressure up or down on the string, it's going to create a certain note. And the thing about bending is it gradually goes up. When you bend a note up to the next
note. Do you bend up or do you bend down?
Well,
do you always bend up?
No, if you're bending like Ted Nugent style, bending the E string or the A string.
Well, you have to bend down.
You bend down, yeah. Ooh, I love that. That feedback and bend at the same time.
What about bridge? Bridge can have at least a couple different meanings.
Well,
songwriting.
Sure, I was going to discuss... In one section, this is just as good a section as any, the different parts of a song.
Oh, very nice. Okay. Bridge, verse, chorus.
Yeah, all that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that another song, maybe?
All right,
because we'll probably want to talk a little bit at length about that, right?
Sure.
There's a lot, entails a lot there. This is The Monkees, Words.
Girl, don't you know every time I see you smile?
It's so bad, because when I see you, I start crying.
Stop, but there's no denying.
In love with you, girl, is just like dying.
Strange voices and lies. I feel the
right, we're back. That was the Monkees. I'm still reading the Graham Nash autobiography. Whoops. And believe it or not, Peter Tork was like, he was a presence in L.A. in the late 60s.
Oh, yeah?
Like, he was someone to be seen with and hang out with, you know. And
I wouldn't have thought that.
Yeah, me neither. But he was...
Because he was always like the bottom monkey kind of thing.
He wasn't in those days. Like, he was hanging with Jimmy and the Doors and L.A. bands. And
I wonder how or why. Did he get into all that?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that ended up happening that way, but that's just the way that was. But anyway, we're going to talk about, here in the Music Lingo Show, parts of a song.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd mentioned bridge earlier, but where do you want to start? You want to start at the beginning of the song?
Intro.
The intro?
Yeah. So the intro.
Start at A.
Start at A, or if there's no A, start
well,
at
A. Well, A is, I mean, you know, at the beginning.
Some songs don't have intros. Some songs have like 3-minute intros. It depends on...
So isn't that still an intro?
Or? Oh, absolutely.
There you go.
I'm just saying that there's certain songs that don't rely on an intro at all, and some that...
Well, let's start. We can back that up even a little further to the count-in.
The count-in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's in a lot of...
The clicks. The sticks. The clicks.
And there's there's a famous one of those. We got Fall Already.
But yeah, the Zeppelin thing.
Ocean song. And... intro, there is an intro to that, but oftentimes intro is like a lick or some kind of riff that the dude plays that's a common theme throughout the song. Or it comes up. It's another theme in the song that only comes up.
For the intro?
Yeah. Sometimes an intro is its own thing.
Yeah.
And then it gets repeated maybe once or twice or later on in the song.
You sometimes know what I mean? It's just a fill, which is another thing we'll get into. But I mean, just
yeah, a little run of something.
Hits down the drums and you're in the song kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Or just a single note on a guitar, maybe a bend, and you're in, you know, kind of thing.
Yep. And a lot of times intros will take you to places that have nothing to do with the song at all. So an intro will be like, it could be in like 3/4 time, or it'll have like a double feel.
Or a little piano intro that doesn't have anything to do really with the song.
And then it just breaks into...
And the rest of the song has no piano in it.
Right.
Or acoustic intro.
We did. We did a song that was originally actually called Verse, Chorus, Verse. Sappy. But anyway, that song, as far as an intro goes, there was no intro. It just starts with a cappella, which is another word we discussed today, at the beginning with just, what's his name, Kurt singing. So that was the beginning of that song, just to give you an idea, the importance or lack of intros. Then there's usually the next thing that comes in, but not always, is a verse. Sometimes people start songs with a chorus.
A chorus, or even start with a bridge or some other...
Start with a bridge?
Well...
No.
Something that they played for the bridge might start the song.
You think?
I don't know.
Maybe. There's no rules. That's not all that common, but starting with a verse or a chorus is common. As far as the vocals in a song, pretty much.
Because a bridge kind of ties, you know, kind of a couple parts together.
Yeah,
so usually you might find that at the beginning of a song.
Yeah, there's all different kinds of ways that bridges interact in a song.
Or start with a chorus, start with a verse without anything, start with a verse with a lead, you know.
And now you're going to give us an example of each one of those?
I don't know. where are we?
We are in the
still
beginning
in the
Lebeau
beginning
in the
song.
Studios.
Are we still at the beginning of the song? So there's a verse, and a chorus.
What's the purpose of the verse? What usually happens in a verse?
Verse is the main.
That's where you tell the story.
It's where you tell the story. Yeah, it's actually the main kind of the main part.
Right. And saying the main, it means it usually takes up the most spot of the song.
Yeah.
So to some people, and most people, I should say.
Well, they're usually longer than a chorus, but probably relatively the same amount of times as a chorus.
Yeah. Yep.
A lot of times.
But for a lot of people, the main part of the song is the chorus, which is the part that gets repeated in the song. And oftentimes it has what's known as a hook.
Oh, yeah.
There's another music lingo thing.
A hook. And what's a hook?
A hook is a mixture of melody, rhythm, specific notes, the way it's played, that all meld together in such a way that it is it's easy to remember and it's infectious.
It's catchy.
Yes.
Catchy is what it is. And I don't know if it has to have all the instruments melded together to be catchy.
No, whatever's happening.
I mean, something as simple as... That's a hook.
You find that a hook?
Well, I would say it's a hook because it's like the most popular
you know, intro riff, that's for sure.
Thing of a song. That was a great hook to put in the song, I think.
Right. I think a lot of people consider the hook being the part of a chorus is usually where that's at.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I look at a hook differently, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. Like I said,
I guess I tend to look at it as the popular, you know, part of the most outstanding.
Part of the song, yeah. You know? And that's usually in the chorus, I'm thinking. Only because it gets repeated so often in the song. So yeah. They put that spot in there.
And in Smoke on the Water, I don't think the chorus is a hook.
No, not at all. No.
If you had to pick out something out of the chorus in there, it's the ending tag kind of on the chorus. The smoke on the water, fire in the sky. You know what I mean?
Yeah, fire in the sky absolutely would be the hook.
Kind of a catchy thing at the tail part of it, but it's got to be that catchy rhythm.
Catchy.
I think is a hook in there.
Sure. And oftentimes you go from a chorus to a bridge to a solo. That's a common structural songwriting thing, even though I know JD has done the exact opposite of that. To start with a solo, of course, he'd say.
You know what I did when I started Jeffrey Davis Blues Connection? It was all the same thing right throughout. And I would go back to that in 2 seconds. I'm trying to also accommodate my band by doing, you know,
parts.
The 1-8-6 thing. You know, and having the turnaround and whatnot, but they didn't have anything. It was the same thing all the way through.
Now, why is that?
So I didn't have to think about anything. I have no time for lyrics, no time to think about nothing. And all I do is want to solo. So I could sing, solo, sing, solo, sing, solo.
All over the same rhythm, same chords.
And you don't even realize it, really. Like, you heard the stuff, and you're probably not even you're probably not even realizing that now, except that I'm telling you that.
We're going to listen to another song here. This is No Doubt, Don't Speak.
You and me, we used to be together, every day together, always. I really feel that I'm losing my best friend. I can't believe this could be the end. It looks as though you're letting go, and if it's real, well, I don't want to know.
Don't speak, I know what you're thinking.
coming to you from the Windsor, Detroit area and podcast worldwide, you're listening to Big JD and Lippo in the Morning.
I'm not talking.
I got saved. I used to think I knew it. Man, I swore through it. Things like that'll chatter. Ain't the things that matter. That's one thing I can do without. I'm not talking, but that's what I got saved. Things I say at midnight. Ain't gonna say a thing that I reached the best conclusion. And all this best confusion. Don't call me, baby, I'll call you. That's what I got to say. Things I say at midnight. Ain't gonna say a thing that reached a conclusion. That all this first confusion. That's one thing I can do without. Talking, well, that's what I got to say. That's the things are awful. Not just being awful, that's the things are blaming. Not just being famous, that's one thing I can do without.
How'd you like the trick before that song?
You really weren't talking.
I'm not talking.
There's an awesome tune. Yardbirds?
Yeah, Yardbirds. Cool band.
Very cool band. So what are we going to do the show on next week?
Part two of the song structure. We did an actual, if listeners want to go back and check out the show we did, we actually wrote a song over a few shows, right?
Yeah.
We wrote it, recorded it, mm-hmm. presented it.
That's...
What was it even? Was it the Glenn Campbell thing?
Or the Arc Technology.
Was that? That was a different... That wasn't even the morning show. Arc Technology? Wasn't that the Jabbercast?
I don't remember. Sorry.
No, I think it was the one, that Glenn Campbell thing. And then we submitted it.
Yes. But I'm not sure that that's where we had a very similar show to this, like the whole songwriting process. I forget if it was the Architechnology.
Yeah, it was a three show thing. I'm pretty sure it was the Glenn Campbell one, though.
I'll take your word for it.
I want to say.
Finish off a song, though. So you have the solo bridge. Obviously, the bridge is something in the song that ties things together that are not necessarily the same-ish.
Right. It's not the verse. It's not the chorus. It's a different part altogether. So,
yeah.
And then we move on to another solo. In my case. And then probably another solo.
And then after that solo, you do another solo. And then there's the outro or the ending.
Then a guitar solo without any music behind it at the end. Okay. So the ending. Yeah. What's... What happens at the ending?
Well, that's the whole fun part about being in a band, I find. Like, there's songs that fade out, but yet you're playing them live. How do you end it? You've got to make up endings.
Fade them. Be quieter. Do you guys ever do that?
No. We do with dynamics. Sometimes you just bring it down.
Yeah, we do that with a couple.
And then you just kind of resolved into something. Resolves another.
Crescendo.
Crescendo is another one. We've got so many words, and we're at the end of the show. What the heck happened?
Yeah, this is a big show. We are at... usually our show's around 60 minutes. We're at 70 minutes now, and we still got another long song for the folks.
Awesome.
To end the show with.
Well, maybe we'll do a part two some other time down the road.
Yeah, yeah.
talk more about Musical.ly.
What are we doing next week, by the way?
Yeah, by the way, we're going to do that thing that you had mentioned before.
Oh, and that was, you mentioned. Yeah. I mentioned, and you said, let's do a show on it. And I think it was acapella.
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 We're going to do the acapella, acapella show. Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so it's just us talking with no music.
No. Okay. We're going to play a whole bunch of acapella songs.
Why don't we do an acapella song?
Because I don't sing very good.
Yeah, but you got your little gadget and make you sing good.
Oh, I can.
I'll put it in Waves tune and fix it right up.
All right.
No, I think we can do it. You do the bass.
Boom, boom, doom, 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 doom.
Hey, hey, hey. Something like that. Now, did we finish our song? Did we get to the ending? Is that what we? The ending can be staccato. You can just end tight.
Oh, tight, yeah, the endings, yeah.
You can end with a crescendo.
We call that...
Then a crescendo. And then a...
We call that, that ending that JD just did, which was really good, we call that big rock ending, like, you know.
Sure.
Like the big rock song ending. So, and we all know what that means, usually. Mm-hmm. We all play the same kind of thing. But usually there's a four thing at the end. Bam, 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 bam.
Okay.
Build, 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 build.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 1, 2, 3, 4.
And sometimes you stop and do it all again.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yes. Sometimes what we do is we have a particular song or two that Brett will just call out a number. And that's how many hits we do for it.
Yep, we do the same thing.
And he'll just go 7, bam, 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 you know, and then bam, again.
We do a similar thing. We go for David Wilcox tune. Well, I forget what the tune is now. But Dan will say,
David Wilcox, Canadian dude.
Yeah, hit me one time, bam, hit me two times, boom, okay, boom, hit me three times, 1, 2, 3, and then hit me 13 times.
Whoa, that's a lot of hitting.
Well, it's almost twice of 7. Which is your thing, let's just say. Brett does say 7.
Yep.
So, yeah. If you want to do an acapella song next week, me, just me and you, that'd be pretty weird. Two people?
Well, not if we multitrack it.
Ah, multitrack.
Maybe, is like there a project. Way for us to do that before the before the show somehow?
Somehow, sure.
All right.
Possibly.
We say that now.
Well, next week I have time next week.
All right, let's see if we can fit something in and try and do an acapella show. If we don't, then we're going to do something on the spot.
Yeah, sure. On the spot. That's probably not going to happen. If anything, it'd be like a verse worth of a song or something. Unless you have a specific song in mind that we could translate well into
acapella. Well, no, we want to do an original.
Oh, my God.
Don't we? You know what's a great one is... now, what's it called? Huey Lewis.
The band you want to be in.
I forget the name of it, though. The band I want to be in, yeah. I would play for Huey anytime. Okay. So that's pretty much a wrap, and you got Body Talks lined up for us.
One of my favorite guitar players of all time, Keith Richards. This is one of his solo deals. This is Body Talks. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll see you again next week.
Bye.
join us here next week for more Big JD and Lippo in the Morning. Subscribe to the podcast free in iTunes, and don't forget to like the Big JD and Lippo Facebook page.